I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Diz Dats Podcast, Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dat Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dat Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort. And they'll pick it back up from your resort at the end of the vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals. Today on The Dat Show, I'll be talking to Scott Stratman about his Walt Disney World vacation in mid-June with his family. That included himself, his two daughters, his wife, and grandparents. They stayed off property. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thanks, Aaron. Good to be here.
So you just got back from Walt Disney World. You took this trip just a few weeks ago here in June 2013 with your wife, your kids, and one set of grandparents, yeah?
That's right. Yeah, it's my my parents' first time to Walt Disney World since 2005, which was a trip that my wife and I had taken with them that was before the kids came along. So long time coming for them, yeah.
Yeah, and their first trip with the grandkids.
That's right. So they got to see it through my daughter's eyes, which was a special experience for them, I'm sure.
Very nice. Well, let's start with kind of the early stages here. When you were putting this together, when did you decide to take this sort of multi-generation trip?
Well, it was kind of thought about probably a year in advance, only because we stayed offsite on a timeshare property that my parents are a part of, and part of that planning process requires them to reserve quite early so that they can get transferred into where they want to go.
Okay.
So it probably started a year ahead of time, and it also corresponded with typically we would normally take our family trip to Walt Disney World during spring break, and this year we decided to go to the beach, which is our other standard trip that we usually would do if we're not going to Walt Disney World, and that we usually head to Daytona Beach with my wife's side of the family and do a family trip there. So because we weren't going to Walt Disney World then, we decided, well, let's see if my parents want to go, and sure enough, they did, and so we got started planning.
Okay, well, that sounds great. So you were staying off property. Where were you staying? Do you remember the name of the resort?
Yeah, we stayed at the Marriott Grand Vista, which is a Marriott Vacation Club property on the International Drive area.
What did you think of the resort?
It was nice. We've been kind of spoiled. My parents have been Marriott Vacation Club members for quite a long time now. We've had a great opportunity in being able to stay at quite a few different resorts. Hilton Head Island, Myrtle Beach, et cetera. And they're always just in tip-top shape, and it's hard to stay anywhere else. In fact, we have in 2005, we transferred into a non-Marriott through their interval transfer.
Right.
And it paled in comparison to previous Marriott properties. So we become quite spoiled by the amenities and just the cleanliness and the size of the resort and et cetera.
Nice. So you started working on this about a year out, but obviously as things get closer, plans crystallize a bit more. So why don't you give us just sort of a general overview of, you know, what you were planning for this trip? You had about a week. What was on the agenda going in?
Well, we knew from our first true trip as a family in April of 2012 that we wanted to take this trip a little easier on the parks. The trip that we took in April 2012 was, let's just say it was a commando trip. We were a six-day park rope drop to park close, go, go, go with two very young girls. And we learned our lesson. We did a lot and we got to see a lot, but we definitely needed a vacation after our vacation was over.
Yeah.
So we learned from that and decided to, instead of doing a 6-day ticket, we decided to do 4 park days, originally planned doing 3, but, when purchasing the tickets, the price for the, 4-day ticket just happened to be pennies more expensive than the 3-day ticket. So we splurged and said, well, let's just do 4 days and we'll add a day at Hollywood Studios. So. That's okay. What we ended up doing.
4 days in the parks, and what did you plan on doing on the non-park days? Did you just plan on hanging out at the resort, or were there other things in Orlando you wanted to check out?
Well, we pretty much, our girls are fish. We call them fish. They really enjoy pool time. So, and with the Marriott resorts, they're quite nice pool areas to take advantage of. So we decided we would do on the non-park days pool time for morning and early afternoon, and then be prepared to either visit Downtown Disney or, in fact, one of the days we went to Boardwalk and just walked around there as my parents hadn't seen the Boardwalk before. So
oh, nice.
We thought that would be a nice way to still get Disney in our day and not have to waste a park ticket.
Okay. That sounds great. And remind me how old your kids are now.
I have two daughters, and my oldest is 5, going to be 6 in August, and youngest is 3, going on 4 next month.
And so they're young enough that, you know, you probably really, I assume, kind of have to plan your park days around their favorites.
Yeah, pretty much. They are typical princess-loving girls. So our favorite park, obviously, is Magic Kingdom because of that. So we decided with our 4 days that we definitely would do 2 days at Magic Kingdom and then also an Epcot day for me because I'm an Epcot nut. And we decided with that extra day that we weren't planning on spending that we would take advantage of Hollywood Studios and kind of give Animal Kingdom the back seat. So
Okay. All right. So what did you do first? What was your first park day?
Well, we flew in on a Saturday. Actually, Saturday that we flew in was my birthday, so we were attempting to try to get somewhere to celebrate that. And well, unfortunately, with Florida weather in June, the lightning and thunder outside prohibited our bags from being removed from the plane in an expedient manner. So we ended up waiting in the baggage area for almost as long as our flight took us to get us there.
Wow!
Before we were able to get our bags, so we got our bags. We landed at 3:40. We got our bags at 5:30, and it was not the greatest way to start the trip off. Waiting for our bags. Like I said, we finally got our bags right around 5:30, and made our way to our rental van. We had a van that we rented, obviously, since we were staying off site. And decided to go check in to the resort quick and drop off our luggage and head straight to the nearest grocery store to grab some groceries for the week. And because it was already so much later in the day than we anticipated, we just Googled the closest restaurant to where we were, and being unfamiliar with where we would end up, we ended up eating at Outback that night, which okay. Wasn't my first choice, but nonetheless, we still had a great meal and went to bed early that night. So,
well, that's right. You know, I always find that the travel day, you know, everybody I think has great plans for travel day, and they always end up, you know, getting pared back because everybody gets in later than they expected. Everybody's more tired than they thought they were going to be. You know, I think that arrival day is the one that all of us tend to overplan a bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. We were kind of excited because we actually landed about 15 minutes ahead of schedule. So we were thinking, oh wow, this is going to be a good start to the trip, and then being stuck in the baggage claim waiting on bags just because it was raining outside. It was kind of a letdown. So
right. Okay. Well, so the next morning though, you were ready to hit it, you know, up and at 'em. What was your target for the day?
The next morning was actually it was Sunday, it was Father's Day. And so I kind of, being the sentimental guy, said, well, it's Father's Day. Darn it anyway, I'm going to Epcot. So we packed up and made Epcot our first park day. Got there quite early. I think I had the troops up and out the door by 7:45 to make it there, and parked and stood in front of the turnstiles by, I don't know, 8:20 or so. So we were there.
Nice.
And ready to go. And thankfully, my family's pretty good about rising early, so no issues there.
Good, good. And you know, maybe you can just give us sort of a few of the highlights of your day at Epcot.
Sure.
What was, you know, first of all, did you have any particular things that you knew you really wanted to try this time, that you really wanted to do, and then kind of how it went?
Sure, absolutely. Basically, our whole lead up to this was last year, in the April 2012, my oldest daughter was 4. She made it all the way to the seat of Soarin' and wigged out and left as she was already buckled in. So
okay.
This year she decided that she wanted to try it again. So that was our goal, was to at least give her one opportunity to get on Soarin'. So our game plan was to have me run ahead as the fast pass person and get fast pass tickets for Soarin' while everybody else headed towards test track, and I would meet them there. Unfortunately, after I got the fast passes, my wife texted me and said the test track was closed for an unknown reason and was not even distributing fast passes. So that kind of threw our plans off right off the bat. However, they ended up walking towards me, and we noticed that the newly refurbished character spot was just getting ready to open, and we were the second family in line, so we jumped into character spot, got that out of the way. After character spot, while we were waiting for our fast passes become good, we decided to hit Nemo and Turtle Talk, then headed over to the Land Pavilion to ride Soarin'.
And how did your daughter do with the second chance at Soarin'?
Huge thumbs up. She was overjoyed and so happy that she tried it again. She was proud of herself. And thankfully, thanks to my youngest daughter not being tall enough, we were able to get her on a second time using the rider swap pass.
Very nice.
So that was another nice bonus on a, you know, relatively moderate crowd day. So getting Soarin' done twice before 10 o'clock was a good accomplishment. So after Soarin', we took a break on Living with the Land, just because it's quintessential.
And it's there.
And it's there, and it's right around the corner. And we decided after Living with the Land to head over to Test Track and check it out, see if it was up and running, and sure enough, it was. And I just happened to get a text from Mike Willis, and he happened to be in the area, so we met up real quick for a quick dis-dad meet, and we ended up getting fast passes for later in the evening as the ride was running again. Then it was lunchtime. We decided to try a new restaurant that we hadn't experienced before in Akershus. You got it, the Princess Lunch. We figured it'd be a good way for us to get a lot of the princess meet and greets out in a single, you know, sure, hour, really. And our goal was to get some signatures on some pillowcases that we had brought for the girls to use rather than the typical autograph book.
So what did you think of lunch at Acres House? What did you think of the food? What did you think of the experience?
Acres House was good. It you know, I had read a lot of the different information about it before we went regarding what was available on the appetizer style buffet that they have. And frankly, I was quite impressed by, you know, the different variety that they offered. It was refreshing to see that they stuck to their Norwegian roots instead of falling into the atypical theme park buffet style food that you would typically see. So you got your different fish offerings and shrimp salads and tuna salads and meats and cheeses, which was a kind of good start to the meal. And then, of course, a cold Carlsberg draft and their meatballs were a good way to fill the tummy up for, you know, touring World Showcase for the remainder of the evening.
Very nice. And any kind of highlights of your touring in World Showcase?
a few pints and some fish and chips. And actually, we got a couple princess meats as well. Mulan and Jasmine got those taken care of too. And you know, pretty much took it easy. We ended up parking ourselves in the little area to the as you're looking at Rose and Crown to the left of the actual beer stand that's set up there. Parked ourselves right there for quite a few hours, actually about 3 hours. Had just some R&R and let the girls run a little bit.
Yeah, it's nice when you can kind of find a one of those little places in Walt Disney World where you can take a load off, relax a little bit, but still be in the middle of the park and in the middle of the Disney experience.
That's right. So it was nice, and we didn't have any worries of trying to scramble to try to find a spot for Illuminations, which was obviously the way that we were going to end this day. The skies did threaten us, as they typically do in June, in the afternoon. And at one point we almost bailed, but we're glad we stuck around, as the table we had was absolutely perfect to see Illuminations. And I got some good shots on the camera there.
Terrific. All right. So that sounds like a great way to start your trip. You got your big highlights in on the rides. You got to enjoy a few pints. If you had to score them, which one was your favorite beer stop for the day?
Oh, Germany. No question. And you can ask Randall and Carl and Paul and Jody, Randall's wife, from our beer garden trip during the DDC last year. Hobbles is by far my favorite beer in World Showcase, and I have to have one every time I'm at Epcot, some way, shape, or form. I got to get one.
It's sounds very good. Sounds good. And you capped it off with Illuminations. You head back to your vacation home, and you still got 3 park days ahead of you. So what's up next?
The next day, we took a break and made it our first resort pool day. And
makes sense.
So we got a good busy day, a open to close park day, and surprisingly, we told ourselves we were going to take an afternoon break, and we really didn't until the end there when we were trying to secure a nice spot for Illuminations. So it was a welcome break the next day. So we pretty much pooled it at the resort for a while and decided to head over to Boardwalk that evening. We had an ADR at Flying Fish, which was also a first-time experience for us. We hadn't had the pleasure of eating there yet.
Okay,
great
so
meal.
I was just going to say, tell me about Flying Fish because, as our listeners know, Flying Fish was just the victim of the first and only upset so far of the Munch Madness tournament, falling in the first round to the upstart in Downtown Disney, Fulton's.
Yes, and I unfortunately got on to the live broadcast a little late, but had seen in the chat room the results on that, and I was upset that I didn't hear the reasoning behind why it was beaten.
Well, go ahead and explain to us what's so wonderful about Flying Fish.
It's one of those places I think a lot of people don't think about going to. They don't think about going to the Boardwalk for a signature dining experience when you have places like ESPN Zone and Big River Brewing Company as, their mainstays. I mean, Cuisine is in there as well. The ambiance inside could definitely be a spot for, a date night with your spouse, no question about it. I think maybe it may fend off some people with its supposed dress code, which really was not enforced. They're saying guys should have a collared shirt, etc. You can come in your park gear and they're not going to deny you. The meal itself, obviously, as it sounds, Flying Fish, it's very much seafood based. And I was fortunate enough to try their known for, their signature dish, which happens to be a potato wrapped snapper, which was done extremely well over a bed of leeks and some kind of a red wine sauce, which really, really was very good and hit the spot. But it's also on the pricier end of things too, so it might be another reason why it it didn't seem to be extremely busy when we arrived for our 5:30 ADR, which happened to be their opening time, I suppose.
Right, right.
I think more and more people are probably trying its opponent in the Munch Madness, Fulton's, only because of Fulton's being right there downtown Disney, and it's probably a spot that more people would tend to go to if they're looking for a non-park experience. So it's probably, I'm saying Fulton's is probably one that more people have eaten at, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that was a big piece of it, the convenience of it. More people had that experience. And I know there was one person who was on the panel who'd had a bad experience at Flying Fish. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted you to talk about it a little bit is because I get the sense that that experience was probably, you know, somebody had a bad night. Just because I've heard so many good things from some other people. So, you know, glad to hear from your review that it was a good experience for you all.
Yeah. The wait staff and everything was, they were all top notch and very attentive. And I noticed that they do have some areas available to sit at what's known to them as the, it's not really a chef's table. It's more of a chef's bar. You sit.
Right. They call it the chef's counter.
You got it, chef's counter. The opportunity for a date night at the chef's counter would be quite interesting, I think, just because of the proximity to the actual cooking that's going on and the wood fire that they use, and it would be a pretty nice evening, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I talked about on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so. A nice way to wrap up a relaxed day with a really nice meal. And you've got another park day ahead of you, I assume. So,
Let me just back up just a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm jumping too far ahead.
No, that's fine. I wanted to make sure I mentioned that we, for our sweet tooth that evening, we had to go and see what was done with the Boardwalk Bakery as it just reopened from refurb. We decided to sample the peanut butter bacon banana concoction that they have. Oh my gosh! If anybody has any opportunity that they're near the boardwalk and you have a sweet tooth, you have to try it. It is truly a complex mass of flavors that you never thought would work, but it really does work. So we sampled that and also got caught up with Michael Lake that evening. He was in town for a convention he was speaking at and met up with us. So that was a nice DisDad meet for the evening as well.
Very nice. So at this point, you've got more DisDads meet in than you have park admittance.
Yes, we do.
Nicely done. Okay, so... Your next day is your day, I assume, one of your Magic Kingdom days?
That's right. Yeah, Tuesday was the next day, Magic Kingdom day. Once again, we were early risers and got us there, made it to Rope Drop, and it was memorable only because we were huddled in the masses of the people waiting at Rope Drop, and it was extremely hot. And I get a text from Dave Zerfus. And he says, "Are you at Magic Kingdom?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm right here." So evidently he was in the crowd, and he texts me back and he says, "Put your arm up." And so I put my arm up, and sure enough, here he was 15 feet away from me. So that was interesting to know that he was that close. And right. Yet I couldn't quite come close to talking to him because all the people that were between he and I.
Right.
Yeah, we got the day started off right. The goal today at the Magic Kingdom was to get my oldest daughter on Splash Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain as she experienced those in a day trip earlier this year and really enjoyed those. So those were two we definitely want to get done. So we headed straight for Splash and got fast passes and immediately jumped on Big Thunder. And after Big Thunder, we got in the Splash standby line because it was still so early and the line was rather short. So we decided to jump in the standby line and knock those two out right away and still having our fast passes for later for Splash,
nice.
which my daughter very much appreciated because she's really turning into a ride junkie, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's fun. My daughter is that way too. She'll actually ride some things that I won't.
And she's not quite tall enough for the big Space Mountain or Rock and Roller Coaster quite yet, but she's getting herself ready for those. So we got those two knocked out, squeezed in a Pirates ride, which is a special ride that I bond with my youngest daughter with. She loves to ride that with me. She thinks Pirates is my favorite movie, which is definitely one of my favorites on the Disney side of things. So she really thinks it's cool that she can ride that ride with her dad.
Cool.
And then we did the the whole next Fast Pass became available. We decided we'd hit and get Fast Passes for Under the Sea. And so we got those. And while I was doing those, the wife decided she wanted to try to take care of the rest of the princesses we needed for our autographed pillowcases that we were putting together for our girls. So she decided that she was going to go and get in line for the Merida meet and greet behind the castle there.
Yes.
Because that's also a pretty large wait for as long as the movie's been out. It's it takes some time to get people through that one. And on her way there, she noticed Tiana was out meeting some people, and she was able to be second family in line for Tiana and got her knocked out and met up with me in the Merida line. And this is when I finally was able to meet up with Dave Zerfus. He texted me and said he was eating lunch in Cosmic Rays with his family, and so I surprised him.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to tell me that Dave was in line to meet Merida, which wouldn't have necessarily surprised me, but...
No, in fact, it was kind of funny. When I texted him that I was in line to meet Merida, he looked to Brianna and said, "Who's Merida?" He had no idea. So that was kind of neat. But it was great to finally meet up with Dave after talking to him for so many, a couple 3 years that I've been involved in the Distads now. It was nice to put a name to a face and all that. So.
Right. And so you met him indoors, so you didn't have to
indoors,
worry.
Yes.
You didn't have to worry about the glare.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, but I did have to stop him from stuffing his cheeseburger in his face, which I don't know if he cared for that too much. But I didn't stick around too long. I didn't want to keep a man away from his food. So.
No, I wouldn't want to do that.
No.
So did you guys have lunch plans in the park?
Lunch plans for us. Let's see. What did we do that day? After meeting up with Dave, it was still a little early. They must have ate lunch a little early to beat the crowds. And we were still trying to sneak our Fast Pass use with Under the Sea in. So we did Teacups and Under the Sea. Ran got Fast Passes for Peter Pan, and then just ran into Pinocchio Village House and ate some lunch inside there. And I was kind of interested in seeing what Pinocchio had to offer, since they did a menu revamp probably within the last year. And yeah, they've started to offer some updated flatbreads and a meatball sub, which I partook, and that was quite tasty. Surprisingly enough, with some of the bad reviews I've seen from Pinocchio Village House, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's my favorite in the Magic Kingdom. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it's not. But it's not. It used to be, if you went in there, it was your, sort of fallback because nothing else was available or,
right,
whatever. And I think at least it's reached the point where I'm not unhappy if we have to eat there, I guess,
right,
is the way I would put it.
Exactly right. And I think that's pretty much what happened to us. Was we used it as a fallback position because it was quite warm outside, and we're like, well, let's just go to Pinocchio's. It's right here.
Yeah.
And we knew that we wanted to head to Enchanted Tales with Belle, seeing that the wait times were starting to come down a little bit from the morning after lunch. So that made it quite close and convenient for us. So we ate our lunch. We went to Enchanted Tales with Belle. It was kind of nice. Both of my daughters, myself, and my wife all received parts in the story, which was kind of nice. I was a knight in shining armor, of course. my oldest daughter was Maurice, and my youngest was Philippe, and my wife had the voice of an angel and was the wardrobe. I think it had something to do with we had matching T-shirts for the day, and I know that the cast members tend to really enjoy when they see families that that have matching T-shirts, and I think we might have got a little bit of special treatment there. But that was a nice experience to see, you know, at least my immediate family get involved in that together. It was neat.
Yeah.
So,
and what had you seen that before?
Yes, actually, I'm glad you asked. The first time we actually went through it was a little day trip we took in March earlier in the year. We had gone to Daytona Beach, which is where we typically go with her family, and we usually sneak down for a day trip to Magic Kingdom sometime during the week, and that was our first time. And at that time, my oldest daughter was the only one that got the part, but she also got to be the Beast, which was pretty special. So, we had seen it before, and because of that, my oldest daughter definitely wanted to do it again, thinking that she might quite possibly get to be the Beast again. She was kind of excited about the opportunity. But knowing that we all got parts, it was just as a special experience as the first time. So after Enchanted Tales with Belle, we took a break and sat in on PhilharMagic, which is a classic. I love PhilharMagic. I'm right up there with Nate. I think he's a PhilharMagic fan, and I don't understand why it's a 10-minute wait at all times, but it's a good show, and it's a good escape from the heat. And then we decided to hit that area, so we jumped out of there, went to Small World, and my parents said never again. And then we went on to use our fast passes for Peter Pan, and in the process got some fast passes for Winnie the Pooh for later. Went back into Storybook Circus and let the girls run and get soaked in the
Casey's
splash pad, Casey Jr. Splash pad. Mm-hmm. And hopped in line for The Great Goofini meet with the Astounding Donaldo. We had never had the girls' picture with Donald Duck, so we thought that would be a cool thing to do. So we did that. And the highlight of the whole day was we had an ADR that evening for Be Our Guest.
Tell us about Be Our Guest. Which dining room were you seated in?
We were in the main dining room, in the ballroom, and we had the view of the ballroom, multiple pane windows, and the snowy scene that's there. Just amazing technology what they did, and just very, very impressive. I'm trying to think. Dinner was good. The food was outstanding. Service was a little bit on the slow side, which was kind of disappointing. But it almost felt like our server was really trying to. Once he did finally come to our table, was trying to really push us through. But we did have like a 15-minute wait before anybody even came over to offer us beverage service or anything. But the food was good. I took advantage of the pork chop. And it was quite tasty and rather thick and large. I was quite impressed for the price that it was a rather good size cut of meat, which I didn't expect. So that was nice. And I'm trying to think of what the others at the table had, if there was anything that stood out to me. My wife and my mother both had the ratatouille and raved about it. So that was a good choice as well.
Good.
But the main reason why I was excited for Be Our Guest was the opportunity to meet the Beast afterwards. The Beast is a character that for the longest time my youngest daughter had always asked every time that she had met Belle where the Beast was, and we never were able to meet up with the Beast in the Epcot location. He never happened to be available when we would meet up with Belle there. So this was kind of a surprise for her that we were in the Beast castle and we were going to end up meeting the Beast. So at the end, you do have that opportunity to meet the Beast in his study and have a picture taken with him. So that was a cool experience, especially when we walked into the study and found that we were the only family in the whole room. So very, very cool. And because of that, we were able to spend a little bit more time than typical with him and get quite a few shots and see some reactions that we were excited to see. So
very cool.
Yeah. The weirdest part about this day was because we had another park day coming up on Wednesday, which was the next day, we decided to, after dinner, hit a few shops and head out, which was really difficult for my wife and I because we have never gone to the Magic Kingdom and not stayed
right.
for Main Street Electrical or Spectro or whatever happened to be at the time in Wishes. So it was extremely weird walking out of Magic Kingdom before it was actually closed up. But once again, we knew we had another park the next day and another early morning. So,
all right. So you took the unusual step, went ahead and cut it a little short, head back, because the next morning you had plans for which?
Hollywood Studios. We had to break up our days there. Well, we didn't have to, but it made sense.
And was this the first time that you were going to be at Hollywood Studios with the whole family?
Well, my mom and dad hadn't been to Hollywood Studios since 2005 for our adult trip. And then my daughters had actually gone the year prior for our April trip in 2012. So
I didn't remember whether that had been on your calendar or not.
Yeah, we actually took advantage of going there then as well. And I'm trying to think if we did anything different this year as opposed to last year. I don't believe so. The only thing was our dining. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So we did our traditional early morning, get there. We got there a little later than typical. They had already opened the gates up. So we made the mad dash to Toy Story Mania, obviously, and got in the standby line after getting some fast passes. And after the first ride on Toy Story, I ran over and jumped into Tower of Terror with my dad and my wife while my mother watched the girls. And,
yeah, that's why it's always nice to have that extra adult assist for those situations.
It's a wonderful thing. We ended up doing a rider swap just in case my mom wanted to ride, but she decided not to. But that rider swap, what a nice option that is to have. And knowing that you can use that pass not only for the person that waited behind, but also two other people in your party to go with them. Highly recommend that if you have children that are not quite of the height requirement or wanting to go on. So, that was a nice thing. We also, in the process, found a nice cool spot to relax, being the – I don't know if I want to give it away on the podcast, but it's the the actual exit of Tower of Terror that dumps you into the gift shop. There's quite a few benches in there that you can sit and wait for your party to come off, and it's also nice and cold, air conditioning. So
yeah.
We utilized that later in the day when we wanted to take a in-park break. But so after Tower Terror, we decided to get into the Disney Junior show, and it was kind of a special moment. We had a cast member choose our family to be the, quote, first family for that show. So basically what that consisted of was allowing us to be first in the doors and, quote, let the daughters open the show. And they in turn received some autograph cards from the characters that are there now, so Sophia and Jake and Mickey and the whole crew. So that was
nice.
A nice thing. Yeah. So that was a little bit of Disney magic. And after we saw that show, we used our Toy Story Mania Fast Passes and got in line for the first show of Beauty and the Beast, which I think was just before lunchtime. So we saw the Beauty and the Beast show. Grabbed some lunch across the way at Fairfax Fair. I had my eye on that hot dog with mac and cheese. Had to try it.
Yeah, what did you think? Because I tried it. I want to hear what you thought of it first.
You know, it was average. I wouldn't say it's outstanding, but it's one of those things where once I heard about it, I knew I had to try it once. I think I almost enjoyed what I ended up doing is I got the mac and cheese and bacon dog, and then my dad got the opposite. He got the pulled pork and coleslaw dog, which we decided to – you take half mine, I'll take half of yours.
Okay.
And try them both. The pulled pork dog was pretty good in itself. I had a hard time choosing which one I like best, but a hot dog with mac and cheese, you know, it's and has bacon on top, which makes it so. I think that pulled it out because of the bacon factor. But
I thought it was a little sparse on the bacon, and maybe it's just me, but it felt like. After the fact, I thought the mac and cheese could have used like some Tabasco.
Ah, good point.
That would have
enhanced it just a little bit. And I agree with you. That could have definitely made it a home run there. So we're eating lunch, we're resting in the hot sun, and decide to rest in the air conditioning. So this is at the point where my wife and my mom and dad decide they're going to go sit in the air conditioning, and me being the commando guy, I decide, well, I'll take this opportunity, and while you guys are sitting in the Tower of Terror exit, I'm going to go try single rider at Rock and Roller Coaster. So I do that, and didn't wait too long, about 10, 15 minutes, which was nice, as being the standby line was already up to 90. And also decided to ride something that I haven't ridden before, and that was the Great Movie Ride. All the times I've been to Hollywood Studios, I've never ridden a Great Movie Ride. So I said, well, this is as good a time as ever. And so I enjoy the air conditioning there. And in the process, after riding that, decided to make it a little easier on us to see Voyage of the Little Mermaid and grab some fast passes for that. Not typically something I would grab fast passes for, but being as it was hot as it was, we decided, well, let's just make sure we wait for one show instead of two.
Sure.
So we did that. Little bit of magic there. Daughters were once again picked as the first family at that attraction. And they got to announce the opening of the show and also received some autograph cards with Ariel and Prince Eric's signatures on it.
Very cool.
And saw that show and headed over to Magic of Disney Animations. One other thing that I had seen a lot of other trip reports and dads talk about that I had never done with my family, so I decided, well, that might be a different way to get some different experience to my girls. And
now, how did the girls do with that? Because I've been concerned about my son maybe getting bored, because he's about the same age that they are. He's six.
Right.
So
yeah, they did quite well. And obviously, my youngest was the one I was concerned about more than my oldest. My oldest is she's an old soul. She's quite mature for her age, so I wasn't really too worried about her. But my youngest, in a classroom style setting like that, she's usually pretty good about behaving and right, taking directions. So we were in the runoff of the room, so we had lap boards rather than the light tables, which also gave us the front row seat. So we had a front row seat, and it was kind of neat because I don't know if they normally do this, but the animator gave us three choices as far as who we wanted to draw. And our choices were Dopey, Snow White, or Perry. And there were quite a few Perry fans in the room, so Perry won out, which it was fine with me, but I was kind of hoping for something that was a little bit more difficult to draw, being that Perry's pretty much a square figure and not a whole lot of roundness to him.
Right.
Nevertheless, we learned to draw Perry and didn't do half bad with it. It was kind of nice. So after that experience, which I think we'll definitely do again, because it was definitely something new as opposed to seeing a show or riding an attraction, to still, hey, well, how do these characters come alive? It's a good lesson for the girls, I suppose. We decided to head over to Muppets to take advantage of a Muppet show. And we knew we just had enough time to grab that show before we had our ADR at 50s Primetime this evening.
Very nice. And so what did you think of 50s Primetime?
Well, at first, 50s Primetime was almost not going to happen. It was kind of our first hiccup of the trip as we walked up to 50s Primetime to report in for our ADR, and were told that the restaurant was closed.
Oops.
Yeah. So that was kind of like, ooh, big kink in the plans. What are we going to do now? We were told they weren't sure if they were opening for the evening. And however, if we wanted to go to any other restaurants in the park, they would honor our ADR time and we would be seated. And
interesting.
Yeah. So I was quite not quite sure what to think. And so we kind of huddled up and I ran down the different options, and knowing that really the only other place that I've heard good things about was Brown Derby, but also knowing that it was a little bit more money than what I was anticipating spending for the evening.
Sure.
We were just getting ready to leave the park for the day and find something off property when we start seeing people walking in the doors for 50s prime time. And this was all within about 10 minutes of us trying to check in. So we went back over there, and sure enough, the doors were open. People were coming in. They were, you know, taking people's ADRs, and we walked in, and within 5 minutes we were seated. Huh. It was the weirdest thing. So I don't know
just
if they had
some kind of temporary problem that, you know, prevented them from opening initially. And
yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. Food was hot when it came to us, and it was good. It was what I was anticipating. It was the down home cooking. You know, Uncle Dale was our server, and Uncle Dale was quite a character, and it was kind of fun to interact with him, and it. To see my girls' faces when he was talking to us, and the way he was talking to us about, you know, eating all of our vegetables and keeping our elbows off the table was right. Quite fun to see their reactions.
Good. And, you know, I'm glad that you got good cast interaction, because I've heard mixed reports about that, and yours is now the second recently that I've heard that had really good cast interaction at 50s Primetime in the tradition of what 50s Primetime always had been. And I think they'd gotten away from that a little bit for a while. So it's really good to hear it's happening again, because the show is really what makes that restaurant.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. The food is, you know, typical food that you might see at a, you know, an offsite, Golden Corral or something like that. But, the interaction is definitely different than any other restaurant that you would have, you know, on property anywhere else. So yeah, it was quite fun. And I think my dad and I both opted for the sampler platter, which gave us the three big ones, the comfort food big ones: your meatloaf, your fried chicken, and your pot roast. So very, very good meal. And just the amount of food that you get there is another thing to comment on, because it is quite a bit of food for the money, which was appreciated, since some of the other restaurants, Flying Fish being one of them, didn't seem quite like you got enough for your money there. But this was nice.
Good, good. And I assume you were all set for Fantasmic. Was that the plan?
Actually, you know, that typically would be the plan, but knowing that we had yet another park day the next day, we also decided to leave early this evening. And we actually had an early enough ADR at 50s Prime Time that when we finished, we had quite a bit of evening left over. So what we did was decide to go back to the resort and cool off and hop in the pool for a while. So it was a good way to end, you know, back-to-back park days, I think. So
yeah, sounds like it.
But it's still, Fantasmic is still, and I've been to Hollywood Studios quite a few times. It's still a show I have not seen.
Really?
So, yeah. And I think it's always because it's Hollywood Studios always takes the back seat to Epcot and Magic Kingdom for us, and we just don't devote the time to the park like we could. So I'm hoping to remedy that in our next trip.
Well, see, if nothing else, one of the things that is a really good use of park hoppers is to hop over just for Fantasmic.
Right. You know? We typically do not have the park hopping option. We typically are a one park family. So that's probably the reason why we don't, you know, choose to spend a full park day. Because you almost feel like you have to at Hollywood Studios in order to get Toy Story Mania, and you have to be there at Rope Drop.
Right.
Or else you're not going to, you know, be able to ride it more than maybe one time if you're able to get a fast pass for later in the day, which are becoming harder and harder to get, especially during busier season.
Yeah. Although I will say, and I find this true for a lot of the rides that are sort of those you know, must-have fast passes, a lot of those attractions in the last, say, hour and a half to 2 hours of park opening you can often get a reasonable standby time because the parks start to empty out. People leave to get dinner. People go to get their spot for the evening show. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those attractions, you can get a decent standby time, you know, in the 20 minute or so range in that last part of the day too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Definitely.
Okay, so you had the one last park day still to go, and this was your big Magic Kingdom day where you're planning on staying the whole day doing the, you know, parade, the fireworks, all of
that. You got it.
Any specific goals for the day other than, you know, the climactic trip experience of parade and fireworks?
Well, we pretty much just tried to hit the things that we didn't hit on Tuesday, which wasn't a whole lot. You know, Tuesday, and I told the family this, I said, we got a lot done on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, you were going through that, and I was like, what are you going to go back to do?
Exactly.
You know, all your goals.
And, you know, June is, it's, you know, the second week of June, so it's decent park crowds, too. So, I mean, when we were able to get all that done on Tuesday, I told the family, I said, we're just going to take Thursday and kind of take it slower. And, we knew we had to get one more autograph for our pillowcases for the girls, and that was Rapunzel. So that was our first priority. And so when we arrived at the park, we immediately went and got fast passes for the Town Square Princess meet and greet, and took care of Rapunzel, and then knocked out a few things in Tomorrowland, because that was pretty much the only land we didn't really touch on Tuesday. So we did Speedway. And got some fast passes for Buzz. And while we're waiting for those to become good, we went, ran over and hopped on Dumbo quick and took the girls for their first time on Carousel Progress, which was kind of special for me because that's kind of a near and dear to my heart sure. attraction.
I've not yet been able to get my family on Carousel. So that's one of my goals for our September trip is to get them on Carousel Progress.
It's pretty neat. They didn't really.
I enjoy it. So.
Oh, I really. It's one of those things I have to do every trip. It's my way to connect with Walt, which is, you know, one of the few ways you can in the parks, knowing that it's something he touched. I didn't really get a big reaction from the family regarding that attraction, but the fact that they experienced it was good enough for me. So.
Right.
We hit. Did the Move It, Shake It parade. My girls love to dance, and so does my wife. So we did that. And while they were moving and shaking, my dad and I ran over to Adventureland and grabbed some fast passes for Jungle Cruise. Once again, one thing we didn't do on Tuesday, and also picked up some Dole Whips on the way. You got to have a Dole Whip in there.
That's right. Remember to bring bacon with you?
You know, I didn't. I didn't have the opportunity. We didn't do breakfast that morning. So, and I didn't have any left over from my macaroni and cheese dog. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know where you were storing it. Don't want to know.
And so after Jungle Cruise, we decided that's a good point to take our break. And I had talked some Disc Dads. I think I posted on Facebook or maybe in the Disc Dad forums on what are some good recommendations on spots near the Magic Kingdom to take a rest with the family. And we decided that Contemporary was where we're going to head. So we jumped out of the park and took the path to Contemporary and actually caught lunch at Contempo Cafe, which we ate at back in our April trip of 2012, and knew that they had some good grub there. And also knew that there were some good seating nearby for putting our feet up and maybe getting a nap in. So that's exactly what we did before the Outer Rim Bar opens up. There's that nice seating area there with a nice view over Bay Lake there. And we watched a rainstorm or two that came through. And because our naps kind of took us a little long, we missed out on the Celebrate a Dream Come True parade, which I was kind of bummed out about because I hear that it's going away.
Yeah, and it's being replaced, but it's going to be around for a little while longer. That the new parade, I think I'd have to look, but I think you've got until, well, it may be tight. I think it's supposed to come out the middle or so of next year. So
okay, well, we might get one more shot at it then.
Yeah, but, it may be a close call. I don't remember what the target date is for it, but I was surprised that it was as far out as it was, mm-hmm. given when they made the announcement.
Well, because we had pretty decent break there. I mean, we must have arrived around 1 and decided, because it was so close to our ADR for Ohana, that evening, that we would just stay at the Contemporary and just hop on the monorail and take it over to the Polynesian, which worked out pretty nice.
Yeah.
So Ohana was the meal of the evening, and I love Ohana, and I think I don't know of any Distad that doesn't. It's just a great meal. We had first seating. We had a 5 o'clock reservation, so it was nice without the typical 20 or 30 minute wait to get into Ohana, and really enjoy some good food, and our wait staff was amazing for the evening. Just really, really attentive and a true good cousin, as they call themselves. You know, cousin Kalani was his name. So okay. We did the hula dance and the coconut races and enjoyed our food. And this whole time while we were, during our break and during dinner, it was raining pretty constantly outside. So I think that day it probably rained nonstop for about 4 or 5 hours. It was a really different experience from the rest of the week, where we just had the hour rain here or half hour rain there.
Well, it still sounds like you had it planned pretty well, though, because it didn't really start until you went into the Contemporary to take your break.
Exactly.
You were taking a break and dinner anyway, so.
That's right. So we ended dinner and we decided to take a chance and hope that the rain would stop, and made our way back to Magic Kingdom. My wife had something in mind that she wanted to buy for a friend of hers in the Bonjour gifts shop all the way in the very back of the park. So we dodged many raindrops in getting there and bought what she needed to buy, hung out under the overhang of the building there to try to keep dry for a little while, and tried to decide if it was worth us staying. And Murphy's Law, this was the evening we had set aside for fireworks and Main Street Electrical, and it's raining. So we were kind of bummed about that. So we decided to kind of slowly make our way through Liberty Square and just see what we could take our time up with. And so we jumped
into you could stall, hoping the rain
was going to stop. Yeah, exactly, hoping the rain was going to stop. So we jumped into Country Bear had my parents experience their first Country Bear Jamboree, and let's just say they'll remember it because it's just one of those memorable attractions that some don't want to have to bother doing anymore. But
not their cup of tea, huh?
No, well, it's Liver Lips McGraw gets you so far, right? So, it allowed us to stay dry for a little while, and obviously, getting back outside, still raining, make our way around the backside of Frontierland into Adventureland, and Pirates was still open, so we're obviously jumping on that and heading towards Main Street, and we're seeing a crowd line up around Main Street, and the rain is slowing down a little bit, and we're thinking, well, if they're lining up, we might as well line up too. It's really not raining that bad. We got our ponchos. Let's wait it out and see what happens. We tried to feel out the cast members to see if they thought the parade was going to happen. They seem to think it might. Looking at my phone radar, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But all of a sudden, the skies just stop raining and eventually clear. And sure enough, Main Street Electrical happens maybe about 10 minutes late. But we were able to get a decent spot on Main Street, and I think the rain kind of cleared out the park. And so we were able to see Main Street Electrical and the Castle Projection Show and Wishes. And it was a great way to end our park experiences for the trip.
Sounds terrific. So looking back at that trip, what are a couple of tips you might share with dads who are traveling with extended family, maybe, bringing their parents along for the first time? What were some things that you did or that you think might be helpful for people who are traveling with, another generation along with them?
I think I'm a planner, so you got to have a plan. And you also got to understand the pace of, your extended family. My parents didn't quite have the same pace that my wife and I typically do when we're normally touring the park with just our daughters. So kind of made me slow down a little bit. And it was hard at times because, you know, when you get in that commando mode, you just keep going, you know, it's hard to not go.
Right.
But, you know, taking the extra time to sit down and rest your feet and, give them the opportunity to have a break, would definitely be, you know, a good tip. Also, if you're traveling in June, this was our first June trip or summer in general, buy a couple cheap ponchos and take them with you because you're going to need them. Summer afternoon spot showers happen. I mean, it might only say 30% chance of rain, but chances are you're going to have some kind of a spot shower. And we pretty much experience rain every day of our trip.
Right.
And you can usually pick up some, you know, disposable, I would call them, ponchos at your local dollar store, pretty readily available. So, but if you forget them or you use them all, Disney will sure be there to help you with that, with quite a bit more expensive one.
they're happy to sell you a poncho.
Yes, they are.
excellent tips. That's good information.
But definitely just make sure your patience is there for extended family and be prepared.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your trip with us, Scott. I think it sounds like a great trip and one to build on because you've got kids who are really into it and really excited about it.
Oh, definitely. Disney's been a part of their life. Walt Disney World's been a part of their life pretty much since they were born. Both of them have gone pretty much every year of their life. So it's like a second home for them, and it's something they expect, so which is fine by me because I'm just as excited about it as they are. So definitely looking forward to our next trip and planning it and getting some tips from everybody. Your podcast and all the guys have been real helpful in giving me the ideas and how to make my trips with my family just that much more special.
Terrific. Well, you'll have to come back next time and talk to us again.
Sounds good. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the Dad Show. We'll be back on Sunday with the panel show as the Munch Madness tournament continues.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.